It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for listening and for telling a friend. You're welcome to send any questions or comments to me by email through the Hogue Hospital website at hoguehealth.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Medhat Mikael, who's board certified in anesthesiology and pain medicine, has a surgical background in general and trauma surgery, and is the director of the pain program for Hogue Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Mikael.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Right off the bat, Jackson in Newport Beach wants to know, are most doctors trained in pain management?
They do have, but it's a very limited training. You know, in medical school, there is some minor studies about pain management, as well as some minor training during your residency, but it is not to qualify you to feel comfortable treating pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yet recently, the medical board required all practitioners in the state of California to gain 12 hours of their CME requirements in pain management out of the 50 hours required every 2 years. So that by itself did help a lot of the physicians in different specialties to understand about the specialty and guide them in their prescription habits with these 12-hour requirements. So they do attend conferences, attend some CME hours in hospitals, and other educational sessions. So that by itself is very helpful. To practice pain by itself, it needs a lot of training and a lot
sure.
of experience.
It's a specialty, absolutely. But it's good to know that the regular doctors, or not generic doctors, but the doctors who don't specialize in pain are at least getting some training in that. Because when you're a patient, I'm sure that's uppermost on your mind.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And these CME requirements now does help primary cares also to know more about the specialty. So they, when they prescribe, they have more ideas, because it is limited in medical school as far as specialty.
Let's talk a bit about neuropathic pain, since it's a subject near and dear to your heart. I suppose we should start with a definition of neuropathic pain, if you'd be so kind.
Yes. Neuropathic pain comes from, as you can see, the word neuropathic comes from nerve. When you have a nerve injury or nerve damage,
mm-hmm.
you develop what we call neuropathic pain. It's different than nociceptive or somatic pain in a concept that neuropathic pain or nerve damage-related pain or nerve injury pain is always sharp, burning, tingling
mm-hmm.
Pain. And usually, as I said, it's related to either a disease affect the nerve or nerve injury
mm-hmm.
with an accident. And I'm going to give you some examples.
Good.
When a virus attack a nerve, like a herpes virus or a shingle,
mm-hmm.
and the rash goes away, but the patient continues to have the pain in a form of electric shock, burning,
mm-hmm.
which is the case we call post-herpetic neuralgia or post-shingle pain. That's
mm-hmm.
an example of neuropathic pain. Another example, patients with diabetes who has an uncontrolled diabetes for a while, and then they started having numbness and tingling in their feet and hands,
mm-hmm.
and then they developed that constant sharp stabbing, a burning pain in their feet, what we call diabetic neuropathy. This is an example of neuropathic pain.
What about if you cut your finger? That then creates some nerve damage.
If you had a nerve injury when you cut your finger, you can develop neuropathic pain. A simple cut into the tissue or the muscles, you might not develop neuropathic pain.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a major fracture from a car accident and you have a nerve injury involved with it, there is a chance you develop neuropathic pain. For example,
mm-hmm.
the term used, RSD, which is reflex sympathetic dystrophy, now known as CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome,
mm-hmm.
is an example of neuropathic pain. Syndrome was first diagnosed in World War II when a lot of soldiers were injured, and they found that they are healed from their injury, healed from their fracture,
mm-hmm.
but they continue to have a limp that's swollen, very sensitive to touch, tender,
uh-huh.
Color looks different. then they started diagnosing RSD, or they start diagnosing it as a neuropathic pain because of a nerve injury that resulted in sensitization of the spinal cord of the central nervous system. They continue to have the symptoms of the pain.
Interesting. Now, can early treatment prevent at least some of the neuropathic pain of shingles?
Yes, that's definitely the case. Since you brought the shingles, it is one of the examples of neuropathic pain that if you early treat it aggressively, you can prevent the development of post-herpetic neuralgia, especially if you give a good dose of antiviral medications.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times also, if the patients came to us early and we do interventions by doing what we call chemical sympathectomy, by blocking the sympathetic nervous system through a local blocks into the epidural space, for example, for shingles, or doing a thoracic epidural or block the intercostal nerve, so sympathetic block can prevent the development of post-herpetic neuralgia. Very, very common, very good treatment early on to prevent that horrible diagnosis, which is one of the most common causes of depression in older population mm-hmm. that develop this syndrome.
What is the first syndrome that you will experience if you are getting shingles?
What is the symptoms will look
symptom.
Like?
Symptom, yeah.
Yeah, it is usually pain precedes appearance of a rash. So patients usually feel that they have unexplained sharp shooting pain, for example, in the dermatomes of their chest wall, like in the mm-hmm. front and the back of their chest wall. And it goes for about 2 days, and then all of a sudden the rash started erupting. That is the herpes rash started appearing on the chest wall,
mm-hmm.
and the diagnosis becomes very obvious right there. And usually, as I said, they treat that with antiviral medications. They put patients on some pain medication at that time. We do interventions.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in the majority of the patients, about 75 to 80%, once the rash disappears, most of the symptoms disappear with it, and patients feels much better. In a small percentage of about 15%, patients develop what we call post-herpetic neuralgia. The rash is gone, but the pain with that sharp shooting electric shock mm-hmm. is there and continue to be there.
What percentage of Americans actually contract shingles in their life?
It is when you get the herpes zoster when you are a child, and the virus becomes dormant in the ganglia, and then mm-hmm. People tend to have, or the virus becomes active again when your immune system is down. Usually immune system is down when you get older,
mm-hmm.
or you are taking medication that brought your immune system down. For example, people that become steroid dependent because of a certain autoimmune diseases
sure.
or certain conditions that require use of steroids that bring the immunity system down, then the shingles becomes erupting again. Or people that have treatment for a cancer, like, example, chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
that brought their immune system down, they tend to develop shingles. So that is the risk for developing shingles. It is it happened with a higher incidence in older population.
Are there any supplements you advise that patients take to boost their immune system?
Not necessarily. If the patients use their multivitamins daily,
mm-hmm.
I think that's something good enough, but there is nothing particularly to boost their immune system. It's just they need to be under care of a physician, and if they feel symptoms similar to this because they are being on steroids, or they are in treatment of cancer with chemotherapy, they need to consult a physician immediately and act on this aggressively to prevent the development of post-herpetic neuralgia. The earlier you intervene, the better the outcome, and the less likely they develop the syndrome that can last for a long time.
I have time for one last question. The time has flown. But George from Seal Beach has a rather general question. He wants to know how long one should stay on pain meds after a major surgery. If you could answer quickly, I know it's tough.
You can be on pain medicine as long as you need it. You can be on pain medicine the rest of your life as long as you have chronic pain, but you need to be monitored closely by a pain specialist.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mikhail. It's been a total pleasure having you on the show.
Same here. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It's a pleasure here to be with you, and please stay tuned. There's much, much more to come here on Hoag Health Radio.